This is HBR episode 2871 entitled HBR Community News for July 2019 and is part of the series HBR Community News. It is hosted by HBR volunteers and is about 63 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is HBR volunteers talk about shows released and comments posted in July 2019.
This episode of HBR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello everybody, my name is Ken Fallon and you're listening to another episode of Hacker Public Radio. This is the community news for July 2019. Joining me tonight are...
I'm Yannick, the French guy from Switzerland.
I'll let you go first because, you know, I'm just polite that way.
Sorry.
No, I think we were hesitating or we should speak, but this is Dave Morris.
And also in the chat we have... KDG, who is muted. He was on here before.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
So this is HPR. HPR is a community podcast. This is where the shows are submitted by people like you. And if you're thinking of, gosh, what would be a great time to submit you some shows, that would be round about now because we're kind of getting low on shows. And this is the community news show where members of the community discuss the shows that have been on in the last month, stuff that's been on the mailing list, and other bits and bobs that that have been happening in the HBR ecosphere. First thing we do traditionally is Dave introduces the new hosts.
Well, we do have a new host this month. It's wonderful. And he is called Might Be Mike.
Very welcome to the network.
Yeah, welcome to the family.
Excellent. So the first show to discuss was last month's community news, where we obviously didn't have any controversy whatsoever because nobody could be bothered to comment.
I did listen.
Or the people who did wanted to comment were on holidays or something. So we're going to step that up and try and get a lot more controversy in this show. So let's do that by starting talking about the following show, which was Earbuds by Operator. And I must say, I was disappointed at the lack of links in this to some of the stuff he was discussing because I couldn't quite catch it on the podcast and had to go back and look some of the stuff up because it's very interesting how they custom earbuds and custom sound setup. A few links would have been cool, Operator.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Who, to be honest, stuff. Normally sends in those essays on stuff. So I think nobody commented on that either, but that could be down to people being on vacation and having no mobile plans. Let's just assume that's what it was this month.
Yeah, this really was my case. I was in France, so no data.
Does your normal data not work in France?
Sorry?
Does the Switzerland data plan EU roaming not work in France? Or does that not apply to the EU? Or not apply?
No, that does not apply. I have like 1 megabyte or something like that in my Swiss plan, but nope, no luck with the 3G.
I shall cry on the inside. The following number. Seriously,
which is a random number.
Indeed, it is, and it's about Haskell, ladies and gentlemen. It's Tutor Toto, and his continuing series on Haskell. Just when you think you're getting the hang of this language. Actually, this one wasn't the one that... This one was fine. I got this one. The next one is the next one that blew my head.
Yeah. Yep. My conclusion. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I just concluded that random numbers in Haskell are weird. That was the notes I left myself. So, but it's brilliant. It's, as always, it's really well explained. I just didn't have the notes in front of me, so I didn't. I was struggling listening to this, I have to say.
I concluded long ago that... Sorry.
No, go ahead, over.
I concluded long ago that Haskell was really weird, not just random numbers. But still, it's interesting and very well explained. As usual. Yes.
Yeah, and I've stopped fooling myself. Maybe I can get through a Dave Morris episode without looking at the show notes at the time. But no, with this, I have no choice but to go to the show notes.
And read them many times.
Exactly. Well, you know, this is putting me in a very uncomfortable place, computer-wise, because it just makes me realize that there's a whole range of computers out there in the whole tech sector that I'm not able to get my head around this yet, and that's a good thing because it's opens you up to challenges and stuff.
Yeah,
you're right, actually. When I started doing IT, then if you knew what you're doing in IT, then you were sort of godlike almost, because so few people understood it. And gradually, those sorts of IT people used to wear white coats and all that sort of stuff. Long, long, long gone. It's changed a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So the following day was number 5 of the 7th annual Hacker Public Radio New Year show, covering things like Hack in a Box, Over the Wire, Under the Wire, GNOME boxes, talking about headsets, KDE Plasma, Kansas Linux Fest, FreeNAS, Gemini. And it goes on and on. Very good links. Thank you, Honky Magoo. Unbelievable the amount of work that was necessary to put that show together, basically on the show notes mostly.
Yeah, very impressive. Very impressive.
Then the following day, we had a hookah with a privacy and security series. And then he has another few coming in there as well. And this one was on the NIST cybersecurity framework. And I always tend to get a little bit nervous when the word cybersecurity gets mentioned, but in this case, it was just because it came from a government. But very good tips, I found. All right, very practical as well.
Yeah, lots of things that when you think about it is just, you know, common sense, but it's always good to have those things in the same place, same document, very very interesting to listen to, and very practical to put in place.
Yeah, I enjoyed this one. It, as you say, it's got a lot of common sense to it. Surprisingly, really, because it used to be a sort of dark art,
yeah, exactly,
to a large extent, and it's quite nice to hear some basic down-to-earth advice like this. It's very useful for Hooker to do this.
And also the fact that it's supported by, you know, an American and US government-funded National Institute of Standards and Technology, that adds weight to it. You know, all the things that we've been saving for years, you can now go, well, you know, here's a document that says it. So now it's not just me that's saying it. It's the National Institutes of Standards and Technology in the US who is saying these things as well. So we really need to do it. It kind of shifts the burden. So the following day we had Monsieur Jeroen Baton. And well, if he's going to pronounce it English-wise, I think I can pronounce it in, I don't know, whatever.
It sounded like French.
Was supposed to be, yeah. Well, if you say it's French, then fine.
Jerome Baton.
I was going for South African, but okay.
Okay.
Wow, this guy just blows my mind. And yeah. Brilliant show. I left a comment because nobody else is. Cars parked over the put. Hi, Jeroen. What do you do when cars are parked over the fire hydrant, Ken? I've been wanted to know this for ages. And I also wanted to know, because I live in the Netherlands, obviously, and this is about the Netherlands. So his comment was there are red boards on, which tells you with the numbers on it. So we'd been wondering with the kids for years what those numbers were, but we thought they were related to the fire hydrants, but now we know exactly what it is. But oftentimes people, you know, they're on the pavement and people park their cars on top. So I would love to know what happens when somebody parks the car on top and there's a fire.
Blow the car with a
rocket launcher. Oh, I love that. Oh, God, yes. So, no, that would be terrible, obviously. Was I unmuted there?
Yes.
So, do you want to read Kevin's?
Yes, I'll do it. Okay. Kevin O'Brien says, I love the show. I guess you never know when someone's going to do something unexpected yet awesome. I love this show.
Yeah, yeah. Jaron always come up with good shows.
Yeah, God, it really sucks. He's making it hard for the rest of us. Like,
yeah. That's I guess that's why I'm not making any more show for HPR.
Yeah, exactly. Very much.
I'm never gonna be as good as that. So
yeah, I think I'm gonna have to go back to doing knots in my earbud things and hacking ironing boards again to lower the standard a little.
Did you get the impression that your room was saying, there's lots of other stories and I could tell you about them later? Did he commit to more, do you think?
Yes. I felt that was a series myself. Anyone else?
Should be.
Yeah, I thought so.
Jaron, you owe us a show.
GNU Orc Part 16. Time to take it out the backyard and put it down. Dear, oh dear.
Yeah.
This is a good show. Yes, yep. I'll start with Tulu Toto's comment. Thanks. Thank you for the series and the wrap-up episode. It's been a pleasure to follow the series and learn about Orc. I don't use Orc myself, but it's always good to know that there are plenty of tools to choose from when there's a specific need.
Yes, Yannick? To the degree. Yep. So, Hipster said, thank you. Thank you for the series, you guys. It was great. I learned more than I wanted to. I tried hard to not learn, but you made me. Not just about Oak, but about programming, information theory, data structures, history, bash, etc. ...
And Norris says, HPR epic. This series will stand out as one of the highlights of HPR. Thank you, Be Easy, and Dave Morris. Couldn't agree more. Boulibus for both of you.
Yes. Well,
to clap and press the hold to talk is not working, but clap, clap, clap.
I tried that, yes. Congrats.
I'm embarrassed at this point, but I said many thanks for the kind words. Thank you to Turtle Hipster and Norris for your comments. We had a lot of fun putting the series together. I certainly found out more about Orc than I knew before, and I think the same sentiment was expressed by my collaborator, Be Easy. There's nothing quite like telling others about a thing to make you understand it better. Smiley face.
So now the only three things we need to do. One is put the show notes together as
a book.
E-book, number one.
Yeah. Yep.
And
It's planned, but nothing's been done. But
No pressure. And the second one is for somebody to use the audio tracks of these episodes and then do a screen typing thing and make a video of it so that we can put it on YouTube and Facebook and stuff. Just saying, no pressure, guys. Anyone who wants to volunteer.
Can you imagine
I'm not
that.
Doing it?
Oh.
I mean, the audio is there. All you need to do is follow along.
I can volunteer to stitch the audio together, but not the...
It's not the transcription part. Of course it's going to be a lot of work, but anyway.
So you're not already doing it?
Nope.
Hell no.
Volunteers are needed for this sort of thing.
It's going to be a lifetime achievement.
I see other podcasts do it, but maybe they use a different recording app.
We could, we can put them on YouTube. That's fine. It's just a transcoding thing, but taking something like the Orc series or said series or indeed some of the other ones that have been done in the past and then as the person is talking, type the commands out on the screen and show you the output. So the voice actor have done their work. The script has been written. Now we just need an animator to come along and edit the stuff together. So if you are, for example, a bit shy or a bit nervous about having your voice on HPR, then indeed this will be a way to contribute back to the community.
There are people who do this, but I don't know whether they do it after the event. But I'm certainly not volunteering myself.
No, absolutely not. I guarantee you that's a lot. If someone was to take that on, that would be great. But it'll be a lot more work than you think. The following day, we had Feeding the Beast by Folky. And this was Bankid and Swedish Payments, about basically online payments.
I think it's Bankid.
Bankid, of course, is what the hell? Dude. Fine, thanks. Your thoughts?
It sounded a little bit like what's happening in Switzerland, too, where we have more and more ways to use alternate payment method. I'm talking about the payment, not the identity part. But it was interesting to have a point of view on what's happening in another country, I think that's the kind of thing that we're gonna have to face in the future, and more and more. How can I say that? I was gonna say unreal, but it's not unreal. But virtual ways of, you know, spending money.
It seemed. I mean, here in the Netherlands, I don't think I paid carry cash for the last 2-3 years. The only time I would ever need to use cash now is if somebody's leaving. But now there's even you get a URL to there's a website service that they'd say, you know, here, transfer this into my bank account, and you go to there and you automatically transfer it from your bank account. So cash is becoming less and less of a thing.
Yeah.
But there are implications, and I really enjoyed that this episode was there because it got me thinking again about these implications.
I'm uncomfortable about the fact that it needs a phone, because phones are very, very vulnerable to all manner of attacks. Why would you be using that as the device to do it? I mean, I think, is it dumb phones that are used in Africa? Of course, this is big. It's a big thing in Africa, isn't it? Many countries in Africa are using phones for sort of micropayments and that type of thing. That's fantastic. But I don't think they're very smart phones. And I don't know why we would be carrying, you know, £1,000 worth of phone just to pay 50p at the news agents or something, you know. It doesn't seem right to me.
Or necessary when I can carry a card and,
exactly,
you know,
well, technically,
payment. Yeah.
Technically, all you need is a private key. So it could be just a USB key or something, you know, less expensive than a phone.
Well, I just bought myself a burner phone, as they call them, a Nokia 105.
Can you help me up, Dave? Can you help me up?
Because the bank keep on nagging me about how they've made things more secure, and when I pay the money, they have to send me a SMS message, and then I have to type that number in. So I was not going to give them my mobile number, because then I know I'm going to get spammed all the time on it. So, you know, it's that sort of stuff that bothers me. Maybe I'm a crotchety old so-and-so, but just bothers me, this stuff.
So your bank in your land like to spam people?
To do what, sorry?
Your bank in your land like to spam people?
They spam you with SMS messages, Dave.
Oh, no, yeah. Well, I get lots of unsolicited phone calls anyway, because my number, not so much on my mobile, but my landline number has leaked. So I get sort of multiple daily calls from people in wherever, India, quite a lot of the time, telling me that, you know, I had an accident, or my phone has got viruses on it, or my computer's got viruses on it, and all that sort of stuff. And how did that get out? That got out through me not being aware of the consequences of sharing a phone number. Mm. And yeah. You know,
but I don't think the bank is the big giver of phone number. Not in my country. Not sure if it's how I've done it in your country.
But they do. Well, I've seen it in Ireland and other places where they will start sending you special offer on this and special offer on that. So, yeah.
And the banks are just a small element of huge multinational companies. And they will pass your details on to others in that company, because I'm constantly, when I deal with the bank, having to tick or remove ticks from boxes that say, no, I'd like to hear more interesting stuff from other members of the group, you know. So yeah. I think that if you put
it
out any
like
personal,
your mailing list,
it's like being on a mailing list, yeah, and they pass it around.
Thankfully, the GDPR is helping us with that particular one.
Yeah. Well, a creeping mailing list. I misunderstand your mailing list. I thought this was like RSS feeds.
No, our mailing list is the old school mailing list. And then we have RSS feeds for the shows.
Oh, but I didn't understand that. And I got a fault. I added myself on my spam list.
Oh, okay. So, anyway, back to the show. The next show was Telling Myself Something in the Morning by Jezra, Programming 101. And it's even up on GitLab. And
yeah.
I like Jezra's show.
Yeah. And I like the idea, too. I mean, I myself forgot a lot of... small things. I tell myself, oh, okay, I've got to do that. I've got to, you know, get this paper ready. And then I always remember those things just like maybe 3 minutes after I could have done that. Like I have something to take to the office, and I, you know, start the car, leave the house, and then I forgot this paper on it, and I'm not gonna turn around. It's too much, so I'll pick it up tomorrow, and then the next day, same thing happens.
Yep. Turtle Toto says bagpipes for the win. Hilarious and informative episode at the same time. Thank you for recording it.
Yeah. Dave Beck said, rusted pipes. I'm guessing that sound wasn't written for the bagpipe.
Jezra says, pipes up. Thank you to Toto. That bit of bad piping is a melody I learned after NY Bill asked me for some audio to represent time passing. It's a very few notes, but I always mess it up. Smiley face. It should be noted that no songs were ever written for bagpipes. Songs are compositions that are to be sung by a voice, not played on an instrument. Smiley face.
We'll have a few tunes, thank you.
Yeah.
So the following day, we had the New Year's Eve show, part 6. Makers, Apple Talk, Linux on the mobile, more 3D printing, etc. No comments on that one either. And then we had a Mint Mobile security rant by Operator. And you can also use call forwarding to forward calls to your Google Voice number. Mint does not seem to stay connected all the time. This, I think, was kind of probably very US-centric, because I didn't quite get the functionality that was on offer here. Although I do get the... After a while, I realized it was like a SIM card service or like a cheap telco service.
Yeah, I didn't get the whole picture. So yeah, but
ditto here. I went looking at the tells you what you do to join, but it doesn't tell you what it is. Well, not in any way that I could understand.
Yeah. But I did figure that it was a mobile voice operator, and that they were trying to he was trying to switch cards and stuff, so it became obvious at the end. But don't forget, folks, read the internationalization section when you're doing the upload thing. Don't assume that everybody knows what you're talking about, because there are different countries out there, many different listeners from all across the planet. Creating counterplay collectible tokens for Bitcoin game. Dave and I, this was the first show by Might Be Mike, and I must say Dave and I struggled with this one. We thought it was for sure spam.
Oh yes.
Yeah. It was well, until the episode, was it like 3 days later or something like that, or no, when was that? Yeah, if it was like an ad for the game or what was that? But yeah, strange but interesting.
Yeah, although the concept of a Bitcoin and these sorts of blockchain things have been explained to me many times, I'm still not entirely clear why. I'm still asking the question why. And so I came away from this one as, why would you want to do this? That probably is more of an indication of my lack of knowledge than anything else.
Yeah, well, I ask myself the same question. Why would you use a blockchain for that? At first, I didn't even understand what it was about. But then, as the show progressed, I understood it was a collectible card game, basically. And then the use of the blockchain makes sense if you want to track every transaction, so that you know that I had this token, which is basically a card, and there are some common cards and some rare cards. And if I sell you a card, then you need to have a proof that I had it, and then now you have it, and it's still in the game, it's still there. The blockchain allows to trace the change of owner of this token. So yeah, in the end, it kind of makes sense. But it was not really clear in the beginning. But still, I think I understood it in the end.
Yeah, we've asked him for more shows, and there are more shows coming in. So that is also excellent. I personally would like to answer the question, the blockchain. Yes, I understand what it is and what it does, but I'm kind of more on the opinion that, again, it's a solution waiting for a problem. And yeah, but
I can agree. There was, in my mind, there was no need for the blockchain. And now there's the blockchain and everyone's trying to figure out how to use it. And, you know, crypto money is one use of it. Yes. But as with many things, there was no need in the beginning. So they created some needs.
But, you know, that's also fine.
Yeah,
I'm happy with it existing, but whether it's going to solve the Brexit crisis, I'm not sure.
Somehow I think not. No. Hard to know if anything will solve the Brexit crisis.
Anywho, vehicle designer for a space game. Now, this is one that I did particularly enjoy due to the fact that even though I'm not following the Haskell thing, I find it fascinating how he's building the game, full stop. Like all the stuff that you just take for granted with these stats and stuff, how they're coming together. And the pictures are pretty cool.
Yes.
Turo Toto, obviously, because it's Haskell.
Of course. Who else?
Yes, I think it's very cool as well. And I just looked at the picture, and it's sort of been truncated on my screen for some reason or other. Whether it was originally like that, but anyway, the potential of it is very, very cool. But whether I would ever play it, I think I would be all at sea with this. But admire his skill in building it.
So the following day, we had HPR, I think it's the last one, isn't it? And there were two comments, both of which, do you want to read?
Okay, I'm going to read the first one by Dudumi. I disagree with just about all the opinions expressed in this episode. Wow. Choke me up for the opposite on just about all the views expressed in this episode, just in case someone puts together a debate. Good to hear the discussion, but I'm sure do disagree with so much of what was said. Here's to your right to say it.
And DODD Dummy followed up with saying, first hour, that is. The last comment was referring to the first hour of the episode.
Okay, I would like to comment on this, if I may. As a HPR volunteer, I would like to say we are very, very binary here on this network. There are two types of people. There are people who have submitted a show, and there are people who have not yet submitted a show. Now, I would like to say, from my point of view, I could not agree with the dummy more. The thinly veiled, whatever that was in the first episode, was very, very difficult to stomach. So, yes. Thank you very much.
And that has been said.
Yes. Probably, and I hope, actually, I don't care, because I think it's ridiculous, the argument that was put forward that a doctor would need to know that information. Well, you're not going to be a super doctor if you can't tell if somebody has already gone through that level of surgery. Yeah. Anyway, fine. I have personal opinions on this, and I may even record a show on it. And I've been trying to line up.
You owe us a show.
Sorry, go on, what?
You owe us a show now.
Yes. Well, I've been... There are a few people who have gone through this in my life, and oddly enough, a few who are going through it themselves. And I'm thinking, as a parent, how would you deal with that if... Okay, you've got this... You're writing a bash script, right, Dave? And and you get a variable, and that variable is your brain, your sexuality, and your brain thinks it's X, and you forget to assign that variable to subfunction, which is, you know, genitals, and they come out as Y. You know, why should we fucking punish somebody for that? You know, just dudes. And your burden is the addition or subtraction of a single letter when you're addressing these people. You know, if that's uncomfortable for you, then use they, them, you, or hi. Just, you know, skip over it, sorry. But okay, fine. And I'm trying to put a show together. I'm trying to convince some people to come on and talk to us about that whole process. But as you can imagine, it's difficult for somebody.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyone else want to annoy people with their opinions?
I'm afraid I have no opinion on this one. My notes say, where the hell was I when this show was playing in my ears? I think I must have fallen asleep at that point or something, because I'm going to have to go back and listen to this to formulate an opinion.
I was in the shed, and I was very, very frustrated, simply because I've seen how upsetting. All right, picture this scene, right? You have this lady I worked with, and there's a queue for the men's toilets, and our colleagues comes over and goes, hey, there's no women around here, and then nips into the women's toilet, and she's standing right there in front of him, and you know just how fucking rude that was. And that's just, you know, that's just rude. It's just rude. Anywho, there we go. I may have to go back and edit out all of this because, you know, we don't want Ken Fallon's opinions to prevent people from feeling like they can submit a show. So these are my personal opinions. And as Donald Dummy put it, a debate would be absolutely excellent thing to have. I don't think I could do that because I tend to be a slow thinker and therefore wouldn't be quick enough to respond to this. But yeah, okay.
Yeah, I me too on the slow thinking. I would need some time to think carefully through this one. I have kids who have quite strong opinions on these subjects, so we have some family get-togethers where we thrash out some of these points. So that would be helpful too to this old geezer.
Mm-hmm. Encryption and quantum computing. How will quantum computing affect the security of encryption? Oh yeah, this one was actually interesting. And by the way, HPR is all about these sorts of discussions. Don't be afraid to talk about political discussions. Don't be afraid to give us your opinions on here, but do not expect everybody to agree with you. Okay, that's that said. Ahuka, by the way, this was this show. Sorry, my comments was about the previous show. this was about Ahuka's quantum privacy and security episode, where he discusses quantum computing and what likely effects it will have on breaking encryption algorithms and what work is currently ongoing to make it possible to safely have security and encryption in a quantum computing world.
Yes, I found that really quite an interesting viewpoint on it. I have not really followed up where this is going, and it was good for him to sort of set off on that journey, and I could follow along. So yeah, thank you.
It was actually quite cool because the last I had left it myself was, oh, you know, we're all going to be screwed when quantum computing comes along. But he already mentioned that they're working on some algorithms and ways to approach it that would make it difficult for quantum computing to break.
As you might expect, I suppose, but it does look a bit scary as you see this thing coming over the horizon.
So the next day, but before we go on, I just want to end up with a comment about the HPR episode things, the New Year shows. A special shout out to Honky and all the guys who were responsible for putting that together, but especially for him for editing those shows, the show notes, and posting them. It was a massive amount of work, and fair kudos to him for doing that. Thank you very much.
Oh, I completely echo that. Yeah. I did offer to help out with the notes if the help was needed, but
fingers crossed, God, don't ask.
No. Run away quickly. But no, he didn't call for any help. So good for him, really. He took it all on himself.
So the following day we had HPR 2861 Safety Razors by Operator, another one. And it took me a while to figure out what safety razors were again. But, yep, very cool.
That's a subject of debate in my house because the business of shaving has, with many capitalist ventures, has turned into complete insanity, that you now have to buy a razor that has 47 blades on it and can work upside down and in a force 10 gale and all that sort of stuff, and you pay vast amounts. I knew it was in the supermarket that all of these things are under lock and key. You know, you have to pretty mm-hmm. much ask somebody, I'd really like to buy a razor, please. Whereas it was about the same level of expense as a ballpoint pen when I was a kid. Yep. But it's insane. But there does seem to be a move away from that to the more old-fashioned style of double-edged so-called safety razors. Safety in the context
again,
of
big disposable ones, yeah.
Disposable, yeah. Well, you just got a single blade which you put into a razor, having unscrewed it and dropped it in, and so forth. And it lasts you a fair time. It does the job perfectly. It's a lot cheaper. And you know, it's just less junk ending up in landfill as a consequence. So, but it'll probably change. It'll probably get very, very expensive, and all that sort of stuff. But my son's very, very much into these sorts of razors, so we've had long discussions about this. So yeah, it's pretty good. I enjoyed listening to this.
Yeah, as did I. I had the same sort of journey myself, going, why am I spending so much on this when I could just grow a beard and buy a beard trimmer, which I did.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Fashion statements aside, my beard is there purely for economic reasons.
Yes, yes, I did that when I was younger as well. Yeah, yeah.
Art versus commerce in storytelling. Lost in Bronx examines stories as both art and products. And this also was the last in the episode in the series. And I was very, very sad.
Yes. Yeah, it's been something that's it's been a fixture, hasn't it, for quite a while.
I've thoroughly enjoyed it because I love storytelling. And yeah, it was a brilliant series from my point of view. I strongly suspect Lost in Bronx was on a road trip somewhere across America and just recorded them one after the other and you know, got it on first edit and just piped them all into us. But a great, really appreciated LMB. Loved his work. If you don't contribute on Patreon to him, you should definitely do that if you're into his stuff. And why wouldn't you be? So, Biza had simplified application architecture for improved security. A thought experiment in whether reducing runtime dependencies can improve security and how to do it. This was interesting, actually. Thoughts?
Well, yes. Biza sounds to have come from a similar background to mine. He's mentioned Vax VMS, which is why I noted it down.
And Fortran.
And he also wrote in Coral 66, and I did those as well. And talking about how you just wrote the whole thing pretty much. Well, not absolutely. I mean, there were a number of libraries which you had to link in and stuff in my time. But yeah, you could write thing that was totally standalone if you wished, then shared libraries and DLLs and things came along. And I remember the innovation of shared libraries which were being shared simultaneously by any number of bits of software that were running on a shared machine, you know, on a multi-user machine. And how we thought that was wonderful because memory was very short in those days, and this was a tremendous innovation and so on. And that's the way things are. I mean, and his point was that the pressures that made that happen no longer exist because memory can be vast and there's almost no limit to it. So in doing this, do you not leave all sorts of attack surfaces open? So, which seems like an argument. I can't comment on whether that's the case, but you would expect that it might well be.
Yeah, but I get his point. But the benefits of a shared library is also that there are more people using it, more eyes on the code. So you get you also get those benefits from having a shared library as well, admittedly. You know, if you just want to do one thing and you pull in a whole library for that your attack surface is greater. Interesting discussion, though.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's some interesting points. I'm sure there were times when you could select at compile time whether you wanted to be a static binary that you produced or whether you wanted to make it shared on that. And if it was static, then you potentially take it somewhere else where those libraries didn't exist. And he was talking about that as well, wasn't he? Yeah, so I don't think that's the case anymore. You can't easily generate static stuff. You go and put it into a snap or something similar.
Mm-hmm.
You have flatpack, snap, and up image.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay, cool. The following day, we had one weird trick to add --help option to your Ox scripts by Tlatu, who was determined not to let the Ox series die. I'm sure you have comments.
I was really surprised to see this. But what Tlatu has done now twice is to go and look a little bit behind the sort of stuff that we were doing, and which was, you know, we tried to go into a fair degree of depth, but it ended up being fairly superficial in some respects. We didn't burrow down into the complexities because we didn't feel that the audience would want it. But he's pointed out some. Well, he's Klaatu has pointed out some really interesting and useful aspects that have complemented the series, I think. And this business of can you write a script where you put --- help, which you then deal with, is a pain, because to me that shows the deficiencies of Orc as a standalone language. The fact that the Orc interpreter thinks it's for it rather than for the script, and you know, there should be a way in which you can say, look Orc, none of this is for you, it's all for the script, and leave it alone, and you can't, which is very frustrating.
Fascinating though, it is actually kind of cool.
Yeah. There are tricks around. I remember digging into this sort of thing years ago. There are tricks where you can have the same script, which in one context is interpreted by your shell, and then you feed the whole thing to the language you want, which may be Orc or whatever, and it's ignored by the Orc or whatever it is. And so it serves the two purposes. In the shell, the thing that it interprets is the thing that says submit me to Orc, and pass these arguments to it directly without the interpreter messing about with them. Bit similar to Klaatu's second example, but all in one tiny package. But if you do that, then you end up in a having painted yourself into a corner, I think, because it's very shell specific and it's really unmaintainable.
And defeats the purpose of what you were trying to do in the first place.
Yes.
But cool. Long may Klaatu continue to feed the shows. Maybe you two will start feeling guilty and continue to send us in some shows. Anywho, moving on. The YouTube channels I really like: Jeroen Batten, The Steve Colbert Show, Curious Mark, Virtual A, Apollo Guidance Computer, Moshex, and Death Wears Bunny Slippers. So three shows that you could listen to there or watch on YouTube. And if you have people listening have some channels that they want to share, please do so.
It is a great way of learning about stuff that you might not have come across, because the way the YouTube works is it's recommendations on what you already, the sort of tunnel you're currently going
down. Exactly.
Getting somebody else's high view of these things can be really, really break you out of these sorts of things. So,
and also tells you a lot about the person.
Oh, it does. Yeah. It's quite revealing.
So might not be, also did an introduction to Bitcoin for techies, which was concise, short, sweet, and to the point, if I may say so myself.
Yeah, I really like this. He has a really good way of explaining stuff, and I really did follow along with this. So I've marked that down as something to go and look at again, listen to again, if I need to get into the depths of Bitcoin.
Very few shows, very few comments this month.
Yeah, I know. Actually, I'm not sure why that is.
Is there an issue with the comment system, perhaps? Well, we would have heard about it. It's probably just the summer months and people will comment when they get back.
Yep.
Then, almost done, Mr. X automatic tuning with the Kenwood TS940S, which was basically following up from his HPR 2668 show, which he was doing a review, and then he had the opportunity to add in some automatic tuning on basically use the functions that he hadn't put in before because he was requested to in the comments of that show, which was actually quite nice to hear.
Yeah. It's always good to have a bit of a demonstration of a thing you're talking about, or a picture or whatever else is appropriate.
Exactly. Especially when it's audio, I mean, put in a something. Example. Put in an example in there. So the last show of this month, 2868, custom data with persistence. Turitoto explains how to serialize custom data with persistence in, guess what programming language? Yes, folks, it's Haskell.
What a surprise.
There you go. So that was it. A lot of shows this month, actually.
Is it three from Turitoto this month?
Kind of glad because, it's a bit, we're a bit short of shows, actually. I'm starting to get a smidgen worried. We always have a summer lull, but so if you have a few shows there in the old pipeline, you might throw them our way. No need to clog up the queue immediately, but, stick to the recommendations there on the upload page. So if there's a free slot in the next 2 weeks, please use those. Other than that, you can fill out some slots in future weeks and months. It's always nice to have. So there were some other strange comments. They were just other comments. Operator responded to a comment on Node.js part 1, and he wanted to say, I still want to work on this, but this is what I have so far, and he put in a link to the scripts that he was working on, and he wants to convert his bash scripts, which he points to Puppeteer. Do you do the other one, please?
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. The other one goes way, way back to episode 438, which was a Dave Yates episode, and Viper says, hello, I notice you've recommended FossGeek. I'd like to listen myself, but I've been unable to find a copy of the files. Does anyone have a copy on an old hard disk I can have? Thank you.
Anyone out there with FossGeek?
I tried to look awesome on... I had to look on the Wayback Machine. I didn't spend a lot of time on that, and I got distracted afterwards, so I haven't really followed completely through. But I couldn't find anything that seemed to be useful on the Wayback Machine.
I also checked textfiles.com, which is always a good, or textfiles.org, is it? Jason Scott's one. And couldn't find it over there either. But so anyone listening, FossGeeks, if you've got a copy of it, would be awesome to not have that lost to perpetuity. And that there, Dave, is the end of our comments for this month. But that there is also the whole point of HBR and the longevity of the thing. Apparently now, Dave, podcasting is popular again. Have you noticed?
I have, yeah. I see. I heard the Radio 4 Extra prattling on about this podcast and that podcast and stuff, and they tend to be pointing towards podcast providers, which is often the BBC, but other people who don't offer RSS feeds and all this sort of stuff. So the big boys are coming in to start milking it, I feel.
Yeah, I had there was a comment on the internal blog in work about people recommending good podcasts, so I recommended HBR, and then I put down, yeah, we've been doing this for the last 14 years, so there's quite a selection. 14 years! Yeah. Not so hip and trendy as you think, folks. Anywho, shall we do the mailing list discussions then, perhaps?
I don't think it'll take very long, because there's not...
Community news is coming up. Crikey, if I'd only known.
So yeah, I think mine was the only contribution to the mailing list. Oh, Yannick's back from walking his dog, he said.
Yeah,
that needs to go into, that needs to be recorded.
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
So, lwn.net community calendar for August. Anything coming up? Let me see. FROSCon, Flock, PyCon Africa, LDC Brazil, Flock COS Cup 2019, what's that? Conference on Open Source Coders, Users and Promoters in Taipei in Taiwan. LSS is Linux Security Summit in San Diego, US. Tracing Summit, San Diego in US. Open Source Summit, North America, San Diego. I get the feeling that perhaps they've all organized these in together as one big conference. FOSS 4G in Bucharest. No idea what that is. GUADEC, GNOME User and Developer Conference in Greece. We'll mosey over to September 2019, see if there's anything coming up there. Euro SciPy is in Brazil. Open Source Firmware Conference is in California in the US. Pi Colorado is Pi Conference in Colorado. Academy 2019's on the first week of September. And Kernel Summit, Maintainers, GNU Tools, Cloud Foundry Summit, DPDK, Disk User Space in France. ASG All Systems Go in Berlin, Central Pennsylvania Open Source Conference, and that's about it from there. And deadline for call for papers, Ohio Linux Fest is on the 17th of August. PyCon South Africa, I presume, yeah, is on the end of the month, as is OS Camp Foreman LAS in Nuremberg in Germany. Any other business?
Well, the Ohio Linux Fest conference call for papers or call for presentations you just mentioned, and it's the deadline has been moved forward to August the 17th. So there's an item about that, which I won't read out because it's quite long. The other next one was we had a problem with show 2855, which got a
bit entirely my fault.
Truncated. Oh, okay. So I put a bit of waffle here, which is fairly short, but just to say that we upload all shows to archive.org, and shows downloaded via the feeds, the HBR RSS feeds, actually come from that copy. So they're also on the HBR site. So what happened was on Friday the 12th of July, this show was uploaded to archive.org and was found to be truncated. So people, when they got that on the feed, got a truncated version. So we spotted it and fixed it. And it was then the RSS feed was tweaked so that everybody would re-download it. And this all happened thereafter for me the next day on the Saturday, so the problem was solved. But it's a rare event, so just thought it was worth noting that these things do happen. And you know, in a system run by volunteers, then it's hard to respond fast. But I think we did damn well, actually.
Yeah, I would agree.
The issue, if anyone's interested, was we take, because we don't know what format the audio files will come in, we'll accept any format. We use FFmpeg to convert it to a raw pulse width modulated file, which is by definition quite large. So if you send in a FLAC file, that's going to be more or less similar in size. Well, it's actually going to be quite a lot larger. So that's why we always want the best copy that we can possibly get. And then from there, we convert into FLAC, WAV, and all the other formats. Because the New Year shows tend to be quite large and 3 or 4 hours long, and I was actually posting a lot of shows at the time, but the disk space ran out on my laptop, and the script doesn't know that the file is created, so it sees that the file has been created and then it moves on. So that worked okay for the it was just on the border, so it was okay for to create the one for the website, but not okay for to do the one for the Internet Archive. So the one for the website was created correctly, and the one for Internet Archive didn't have enough space. So you got the intro, you got the description, the intro and the outro, but a 0-byte central file. So to fix that, I haven't modified the script in any way yet, because that's coming with something else. But to fix that, I am now also checking the files that we're sending to archive.org. So prior to this, I've only been checking the files on the website, but now I check the physical media as well for, and I also check to make sure that the durations are more or less within a few seconds of each other on all different platforms. So hopefully this particular problem won't occur again.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So the final AOB thing was just me saying that I submitted some more tags and summaries to the thing. I don't usually say that it was me what done it and sort of make believe that there's elves that are doing these things in secret, but I thought I'd just say it was me what done it. So there you go.
Let's still well done. Submit the last... I still have... If you're appearing on this list of Dave's report underscore missing underscore tags dot PHP, can you submit some things so that we all won't be embarrassed?
I second that.
Crikey, that's an impressive page, Dave.
Yeah.
Vulnerabilities. I mean... 147, 1491, and 2204. Wow. Cool. You were saying?
No, I was saying I was wrongly thinking that new shows didn't have tags, but it's mostly old shows, I think.
Yeah. Tags are now mandatory, toch, Dave?
Yeah.
That's true. Yep, that's certainly made life a lot easier at my end of things.
Oh, yeah. But even if it's not mandatory, it's literally 10 seconds, so there's no excuse for not tagging a show. Well, now it's mandatory, also, so... Know,
yeah, also, you know what? You know better what your show is about. Other things that are coming up... Oh, yeah, one thing that I did do was I made a subtle change to the intro speeches so that every 10 episodes you get an anniversary announcement. So if you do 10 episodes, you get an anniversary announcement, and every variation thereof. So you'll start hearing that if you listen carefully.
I need to publish many more shows. I want to get to 10.
And we're coming up close to Og Camp. People, so we should
yay
stickers and merch and all that sort of stuff, and the UK HBR booth kit, wherever that is, dust it off.
Oh, I know where it is. And Timmy is coming to Old Camp, and he is holding it at the moment, and he said to me on Mastodon, I suppose you want the table kit, and I said, oh, it's funny you should say that, and so he's bringing it anyway.
Excellent. So, yes. Do you have a table there? Did we get
well, table? I asked for a table, and I was told, yes, we can organize a table. We're not quite sure what we're doing about tables at the moment, but you're on the list. But it might be a good idea if we ask again, just to make sure it doesn't fall off the agenda. If you want to ask, then go right ahead. Might be better if more than one person asks.
Are we going to record an HBR episode?
Episodes, my friend. I'm episodes? Coming there to chill, and nobody can force me to record shows. My whole plan is to go and chill. Actually, my whole plan is to go there and recruit people to record shows. That is essentially my clever and cunning plan. I don't know if I...
It worked last year.
I don't know if it's going to work after this show, but okay. Cool. Yeah, stickers. I need to organize stickers and the like, I guess. Yeah. Anyone got a...
And t-shirts.
Yeah. Anyone got ideas for where we can get stickers, like cheap, lots of them?
No.
Okay, not you guys, but general HBR community. Feel free to throw us a line on the mail list or comment in this episode. So, is that it? Are we done? Is it over?
I think we've done it. Yep.
Yeah.
I think that's everything.
So the question is, will Ken edit out the show or not? Tune in. By which time I have to edit this more. Is Ken a lazy bastard or not? Okay, tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of
Hacker.
public
radio. We should do it all together.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.